again as he shares in a moment.
You've been dumb before, Charlie Brown, but this time you really did it. What a treat!
I guess you were right, Linus. I shouldn't have picked this little tree. Everything I do turns into a disaster. I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please.
And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
How many of you have seen that clip before? You got to love that clip, right? Some of you are like, I knew there was one last Christmas special I haven't watched. And you didn't know I was going to fulfill your Christmas list tonight when you came with that. Well, I figure we have the kids with us today. We might as well start with a little bit of a cartoon. But that's great. That's really what Christmas is all about. That's what it was about at the beginning. And it's nothing has changed. Now, I know that Christmas has been made to be made about many things, but Linus had it right. That was the kid with the blanket, just in case you're not following along with the video. That Linus was right. Christmas is about good news. It's about good news, and I'm only going to share a couple points with you tonight and about this. But the first thing I want to share is that Christmas is about good news. Now, there seems to be a disproportional amount of bad news in our world today. In fact, the news seems to thrive on bad news. After all, the attention, the interest, the focus, the fear that bad news brings makes really good money. And even Christmas season can bring a bad news all of its own. Stressed out, burnt out, sold out. Some of you are waiting till after this service to go do your Christmas shopping. You will hear the word sold out. In fact, one of my crazy Christmas movies I like is called Jingle All the Way. It's got Arnold Schwarzenegger in it. I mean, it really is a Christmas movie, right? And he goes about trying to find this doll called Turbo Man, action figure. Called Turbo Man. He can't find it. I was reading an article the other day that said they was listing the most dangerous Christmas presents ever. Do you know what is listed as the most dangerous Christmas present ever? Some of you thinking a cap gun or something like that? No, Cabbage Patch dolls. And some of you who live back, just Google Cabbage Patch dolls and watch what parents did to one another in the joy of Christmas to provide these things for their kids. You know, then there's wrong gifts, wrong sizes, and wrong food. People are really picky about Christmas. Like, what do you eat for Christmas, right? I mean, when you get married and you go to somebody, you think your in-laws are normal, and then they don't. They're not normal because they have prime rib for Christmas. See, some of you are like, what are you talking about? That's us. See, I'm telling you. You walk in and go, where's the turkey? We don't eat turkey here. We eat steak for Christmas. What are you talking about? It's 54 degrees below. Some of you think I'm exaggerating. No, you don't. We've just lived in it. And then there's even more. We don't even want to mention travel woes, unexpected snows, and frozen toes, right? I mean, they had to rhyme. All those crazy things, all this and more can bring bad news to Christmas, but I've got good news. And it's straight from Linus and straight from the scripture, from the third song of Christmas. Christmas is about good news. Luke chapter 2 is where we'll be jumping into. And again, I'll just take up where Linus left off, or back a little bit. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." I want to share this good news with you. The first part of the good news is fear not. This isn't going to be rocket science here. I'm just going to tell you what the Bible says. It says the good news is fear not. Have you noticed how angels always have to say that? Don't be afraid. I mean, it's kind of like when I walk into a room of little kids. Fear not. And that always helps, right? Fear not. Makes it worse, right? When I do that. See, the kids are laughing because they're afraid of me right now. Right from there. Angels always have to do that. Maybe it's because they're impressive and otherworldly. Or maybe it's because it's kind of like Micah. Whenever I say, Micah! Look at him. He's afraid right now. You know? Like Micah hears his name and he's like, oh no, what did I do? And you know when you're a kid, you're just mentally going through, what did I leave open? You know, what did I not clean up? You know, you're just kind of, what did I do? And then he comes upstairs like, I love you. You know, he's ready to keel over, you know, heart attack. But sometimes we can be that way about God. Every time God calls, we think, I'm in trouble. Mark? See? Tamara? You know, no. She's never in trouble. She knows that. She's like, God just says nice stuff to her. Right? We can get that way about God. Every time God calls, that we're in trouble. But can I tell you, I have good news for you. God doesn't call you because you're in trouble. Jesus said this in John 3:17. I did not come to condemn the world, but to save it. The good news at Christmas is that God came near. Not to reprimand us. We already know we screwed up. But to save us. So the good news is we need not fear. The second part of the good news is great joy. Now that's a great word, right? Great is a great word. In the Greek, it's the word megale. And you can probably catch that megale is where we get the word mega. So this is really, literally, mega joy. Now, how many of you noticed since the pandemic that food portions have seemed to decrease? And prices have seemed to increase. You know, I'm like, you know, I mean, it doesn't compute, right? I mean, I've noticed, and most of you don't eat fast food because you're healthy, but I'm not like you. So, well, I've been to fast food places. I've noticed that the food portions have gotten smaller, the prices have gotten bigger, but nothing has happened to the soft drinks. The soda, the pop, wherever you come from, you call it different things, right? Like, if you want a medium soda will barely fit in your cup holder in your car. If you get a large, you got to hold it in your lap. You get three of those things, you might as well walk home, right? And if you get something bigger than that, you've got to have a small truck or utility vehicle just to get the stinking pop home to your family. This is what we're talking about. When this says that God gives us good news of great joy, it's mega. It's mega joy. It's supersized joy. God doesn't just give us kind of joy. He gives us joy that gets us through all the terrible things that happen to us, all the terrible things people say to us when we open our presents and it's not what we asked for. It's like, Grandma, you bought me jammies again. I'm 18 years old. You know, God gets us through all that, and he gets us through with this great joy, this mega joy. And where does this mega joy come from? Well, it always comes from the third part of the good news, which is a Savior has been born. A Savior has been born. Hardest thing for Americans sometimes is we don't think we need a Savior. We've got money in the bank. We've got, you know, the best thing about when things don't work out is that we realize that we really need a Savior. that we all start to realize, I cannot do this on my own. But you know what it means when it tells us a Savior has been born? It's more than a God that saves us from bad sickness or bad money problems or bad marriage issues. What it means when it says a Savior is born, it means hell loses. What we, and I know it started with Adam and Eve, they blew it and we've all followed suit. What we gave away at the fall when we chose the serpent's tricks over God's truth, Jesus, the Savior, took it back. See, we couldn't take it back, we gave it away. The Bible says, for all have sinned, fallen short, we've all given it away. But Jesus took it back, Revelations 1:18. I am the living one, I was dead, and now, look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades, death and hell. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15 says, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. And I love Luke 19:10, Jesus' own words, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Now, I've been lost before. I've been lost in stores when my wife went shopping. And I did pray a lot. Like, God, I don't want to live here. I need your help. I've been lost before, but this is a lostness that goes beyond just being lost. This is a loss like I deserve, and everything that I've done in life is heading me towards a fiery end. But Jesus said, no, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. To call me his son. And part of his family. See, a lot of the good news just comes and goes because it's based on temporary things. Not this good news. This news is founded, centered, guarded, and protected by the undefeatable, unshakable King and Messiah of heaven and earth. You see, the good news of Jesus cannot be stopped. It cannot be stopped. I'm telling you, Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave, and he provided eternal life, and nobody can stop that. Now, you and I have a choice to make. And that's the second thing I want to talk about. Not just a good news, but a good choice. Did you notice where Linus stopped in the presentation of the scripture? Now, if you're not really aware of how the scripture continues, Linus actually didn't read the whole story. Linus stopped at the part that I read in verse 14, the glory to God and peace on earth whom his favor rests. That's where he stopped, but there's more to the story. We can continue in verse 15. And Linus didn't read the whole story. It says this, when the angels went away from them, the shepherds, into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. I found this very interesting when I watched this, that Linus told us all the good news, yet he failed to tell us the choice of the shepherds. He told us there's good news, but he didn't tell us what the shepherds actually went and did. I had to ask, was this like a commercial break thing? Like they just had to cut this out? Or was it editorial license or time? Or was there another reason? Now, I don't know. I'm not sure if Charles Schulz or the creators of the Christmas special made this decision, but I have to say, I like it. I like this decision to stop and not tell us what the shepherds did. Now, a lot of you are like, well, I already know what but if you were to hear this story for the first time and you heard this news, what this does is it stops us right in our tracks and makes us go, I wonder what would the shepherds do? And then maybe we ask, what am I going to do? You see, the tension that happens here, that not immediately revealing how the shepherds responded, leaves us time to think about what our own decision will be. You see, the shepherds heard the good news, and they decided, according to verse 15, let us go over to Bethlehem and see the thing that has happened that the Lord has made known to us. That was their choice. They decided that they could not ignore this moment. They acknowledged that this was a divine invitation, and they went. And even though it was a good choice, they had to make that choice. And what I want to say is this: no one could force them to make that choice. Do you realize the shepherds could have just went, "Well, that was cool. Don't see that every day." Now, what were we talking about before? You know, come on. What were we doing? Like, let's get back to what we were. But they didn't make that decision. They didn't make that. And a lot of people hear, maybe not an angel, but they hear the good news from someone even like myself, and they go back to where they were before. But no one could force them. You see, I believe that God doesn't want to force anyone to choose him. Now, we might want him to force people to choose, right? I mean, I have some friends and some people I care about very much. I would love God to force them, but God doesn't. And this is how I know God doesn't want to force people, because he sent the Savior as a baby. Like, if you want to force, some of you are like, "Well, you don't know, babies can force people to do a lot of things." I'm about to learn that next month when I have my first grandchild and lose all my money. It's funny to you, but it won't be to Tamara when we don't have money, so. See, God doesn't want to force. If God wanted to force people to choose him, he would have said a conqueror. Or he would have sent a superhero. Or he would have said, even better yet, what Jesus was before the incarnation, God. Right? He would have showed up in force. But that's not what God wants to do. God doesn't want to force anyone. He came as a baby. And he came as a child to experience all that we do, so that he would be a God who truly understands what it's like to live this life, to walk this earth, and to be human. When you pray to Jesus, you are praying to a God who walked it. So Linus stopped before the shepherds chose, before their choice was revealed. He pushed pause on their decision to give us space to make our own. And it's the same opportunity that God gives us. Good or bad, it's our choice to make. Now, if we make the good choice like the shepherds, there's a couple things I want to point out as I start to wrap this up. What does that mean? Nothing, but it just makes you feel better. As I start to wrap this up, there's a couple things I want to point out that the shepherds did. The first one is the shepherds, they went and saw. And if we make that choice, we will go and see. Listen to verse 15 and 16 again. When the shepherds went away from them into heaven, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that which the Lord has made known to us." The shepherd heard the news and they decided that it was from the Lord. Maybe the angels were a good sign of that. But they chose at that moment to draw near to God. The God who sent his son to save you and me, the God who promised to never leave us or forsake us, and that's both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, he's the same God that calls us to draw near to him. God is interesting this way, so interesting. He could just force his way into your life and into mine, but he wants us to invite him. Invite God to be in our days, in our lives, not just in our season, our holiday celebration. Christmas to me is a wonderful time of year, but it's not really all that different for me except more expensive, right? Because every day of my life has become an open invitation to invite the King of Heaven to come down. This is what God's waiting for, not just a season, but for us to invite him into our days to go and see. The second thing the shepherds did that we would follow suit is that we will go and tell. I love this in verse 17 and 18. It says, "And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them." Verse 20, "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them." You know, the angels never told the shepherds to go tell. The angels they said, "Go see." But for some reason, these shepherds could not keep it to themselves. If you knew a little bit about shepherds, you would know that they didn't get a lot of good news. In fact, the rabbis considered shepherds to be just slightly above prostitutes. There wasn't a lot of good news in their life. And all of a sudden, the King of Heaven invited them to come and see the newborn king. And this was like, blew their minds that they were those who were invited. I love that about God. He doesn't say, now who's got everything right and's got the most going for them? No, he goes, I'll just take, nothing's going right for you. You don't have any talents or abilities or gifts? Good, come with me. If you don't believe me, sometime read about the disciples or watch the movie The Chosen, and you'll find out real quick that's who he chooses. They weren't told to go tell, but they couldn't stop it. I think sometimes for us, who actually Jesus has told us to go tell, I think sometimes what stops us sometimes is we are convinced that nobody wants to hear about it. We're afraid of people's reactions. But this is what I found in my life. Instead of worrying so much about what people's reactions are going to be, I just kind of need to focus on how good this news is to me. Like, because when good news is really good to you, you don't really care how other people are going to react. Like, I found out that my son and my daughter-in-law, of course, are having a baby, and I don't care if you like it or not. You're going to hear about it. And you will see pictures. Right? When some of you guys go fishing or go hunting and you get the biggest whatever you've ever gotten, you're not shy about it. Are you kidding me? Like, I am like the least person who knows about hunting and fishing. I know. And God can use unusable people. I'm about the person who doesn't know anything about that stuff, but you guys come up with your phones and go, look at this animal I shot. Look at the blood and the, you know, I'm like, no, I'm kidding. I'm not that squeamish. Right? Like, you're not nervous about that. When your grandkids do great stuff, are you catching the point? So why is it when we get this good news that the angels have given to us too, that we go, oh, I don't know. I offend somebody. Yeah. It might change their life too. If you focus on what the good news means to you and to me. In fact, the good news of Jesus won't mean much to anybody you tell unless it means a whole lot to you. And it's the best news I've ever gotten. Oh, I've had good news in my life. I have two sons, and my wife was brave enough to bring into the world. I have a grandbaby coming. I have my mom right here. I have good news, but there's nothing like, and don't take this the wrong way, there's nothing like the news of Jesus. Anybody like bonuses? Especially at Christmas time, right? Oh, you're going to give me a bonus? I'm sorry, I don't want that. I don't think any of you responded to that. I would not expect you to do that. Well, here's the bonus. When we make a good choice with the good news, Luke 2:14 promises us a bonus. God's peace. That scripture says, peace on those with whom he is pleased. Make the good choice. This is the reality. If you're making bad choices, you will not have peace. That should just be logical, right? If I'm making bad choices, I'm going to have discontentment. I'm going to have pain. I'm going to have difficulty. But when you make the good choice, God rains down not just peace of any other kind, but his peace. I want to close our time with a kind of a fun little poem that I found. It's called "Twas the Day After Christmas." "Twas the day after Christmas when all through the place there were arguments and depression. Even Mom had a long face. The stockings hung empty and the house was a mess. The new clothes didn't fit and Dad was under stress. The family was irritable and the children no one could please because the instructions for the swing set were written in Chinese. The bells no longer jingled and no carolers came around. The sink was a stacked with dishes and the tree was turning brown. The stores were full of people returning things that fizzled and failed, and the shoppers were discouraged because everything they'd bought was now on half price sale. And we all say, you know what, next year we're going to buy afterwards. And do we? No, no, no. 'Twas the day after Christmas. The spirit of joy had disappeared. The only hope on the horizon was 12 bowl games the first day of the new year. Unless you hate football, then you got no hope, all right? That's just the... You know, sometimes a Christmas holiday can bring disappointments, especially when we forget the words of Linus and what Christmas is really all about. Christmas is about good news, the good news, and also what we decide to do with it. Let us make a good choice. Let us decide to choose Jesus today and every day. And let us begin this by doing as Mary did 9 months after her own song that we did a couple weeks ago. This last verse of chapter 2 I want to read to you. I love this verse. Verse 19. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondered them in her heart. I love that video I showed that said breathe. We begin the good choice by stopping and treasuring. Before you open up those presents under the tree, they're not going to make you more fulfilled. And they come from people you love. I have to admit, my favorite part of Christmas, I like getting gifts too, don't get me wrong, but it is kind of watching Micah open up presents. But as you're sitting the Christmas time, take some moments just to breathe and to ponder what God did the first Christmas when he sent his son, Jesus Christ, as a baby, born in terrible conditions and circumstances, who would travel this life for 33 and a half years, who would pour out everything he could to us, until one day, humankind got so sick of hearing truth that they nailed him to a cross. But guess what? It was all part of the plan. Because God knew that was the only way, the death of his son, that his son could be taken off that cross, put into an empty tomb, and 3 days later rise again. So that you and I could have the good news to fear not, to have great joy, because Christ, the Savior, is born. Would you bow your heads this evening with me? And actually, we're gonna sing, aren't we? I'm gonna invite the worship team to come up. I'm gonna pray as they're coming. Lord Jesus, I don't know where everyone's heart is here, but I do know where your heart is, and your heart is always for us. Because the scripture says that God wishes, God's desire is that none would perish, but all would come to repentance. And we would simply understand and recognize that we cannot save ourselves, and we need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. I pray for every person they hear tonight, Lord, let that seed of truth be planted in their hearts, that they would know it's not about being religious, it's not about getting everything right, it's simply about looking to Christ and saying, I've decided to follow you. You are the way and the truth and the life. If that's you tonight, and you're here or you're watching online, you don't need to talk to me about it, but I would encourage you to talk to someone you came with, that they can pray with you. Because really what you would do would be between you and God, but it would quickly become something you would share with others. Lord, bless these have come tonight. Bless their Christmas in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you join with me tonight?